All right, so let me tell you, I meant to get somebody one of those big Snickers bars, but I forgot, maybe next week. Who can raise your hand and tell me, we're in the power series, who can raise your hand and tell me what's the first thing that we learned? What's the first power that we learned? What was the first one? Yeah, the power of anticipation. And we saw it in the Word of God. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, when they touched that, she had this, there's something powerful of saying, it's going to happen. One of the most powerful. Okay, number one, the power of anticipation. Number two, what did we talk about? Over here, Dave. Thanksgiving, the power of, watch this, not after it happens, but before it happens, say, Father, I thank you, amen. I thank you my kids are coming back to God. I thank you my marriage is restored. I thank you I'm out of debt. I thank you that I have a nice car. I thank you that I'm able to be a blesser. Amen. I think I have so much money in my pocket that I'm able to not only take care of my tithe, but I'm able to help fund. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to help fund the outside area. Amen. I've got, you know what? We've got such a vision for the church. We're going to provide this place. Listen, we got hot dogs today. It's awesome. My wife has done a nice area out here, but we're going to have something permanent, something nice, something like they have at, you know what, at the Hilton in San Diego. How many of you know, how many know the Hilton San Diego shouldn't be kicking our butt? No, really. They shouldn't have nicer stuff than we have. Some of you. I'm saying, you know what? We're going to have something nice. And you're going to go outside and it's going to be shaded and you're going to be a sit down and you're going to be in, you know what? And other people like you are going to drive by and go, man, I want to go to that church. And then they're going to come in and go, wow, trip out on that drummer, man. Amen. They're going to say it. They're going to say, man, that praise team jams. You know what? You know what? Even when the pastor sings, that praise team jams. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Somebody say amen to that. So I'm just saying, you know what? And they're going to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And their life is going to be changed just like your life has changed. Okay? And that's going to happen. And listen, and you're going to see that and you're going to invest in it. And you're going to invest in yourself because you're on this team. Amen. Amen. So we talked about the power of thank, and what am I doing? I'm thanking God before it's there. I walk in the room, thank you, God. This is, you know what? This is going to be nice out here. There's going to be shade out here. There's going to be plants out, more plants. You know what? There are going to be more tables. There's going to be some fire pits. It's going to be nice. Okay. So what am I doing? I'm doing that before it happens, the power of thanksgiving. I'm telling you what. And then what was the last, what did we talk about last week? Come on, somebody. Yes, Daniel. Yeah, the power of not looking at your circumstances. We walk by faith, not by sight. There's something very powerful that you've got to go, I'm not going to look at what was. I'm not even going to look at what is. I'm going to look by faith of the eyes that what God is going to do. There's something very powerful of you being able to not look at what is. Now, my daughter asked me, she said, Dad, what are you going to preach on tomorrow? What power are you talking about? And I was reluctant to tell her. I said, oh, I don't want to tell you. And here's why. Because I can talk about the power of expectation. And you're like, yes. And I can talk about the power of thanksgiving, you'll say yes. And then I'm going to talk about the power of not looking at your circumstances. You can say yes. Can I be real with you all? But when I talk about the power of prayer, there's something that inside of us, I'm just being real, okay? I know you got your poker face on. But there's something that I know that we just kind of go, oh. And let me tell you why. Because we don't understand how powerful it is. If we did, I'm gonna say it like this. Because Jimmy Evans taught me something. And listen, if you're married, invest in your marriage. make a plan Saturday, rearrange your schedule, be here at 12 o'clock and stay till 5 o'clock and invest in your marriage. Invest in your kids. Invest in your grandkids. You know what? There's Christians and their marriage is falling apart, and no duh. It's like, you know what? You've been running the engine, you know what, and put no oil in. Like, I don't know why my car is breaking down. I know why, because you won't invest the time it takes to change the oil. Invest in your marriage. Jimmy Evans is going to teach us. He is one of the most outstanding teachers on this subject. But Jimmy Evans taught me something one time. He said, and you can have these structure. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm going to pray for missions for 10 minutes, and I'm going to pray for, you know what, our country for 10 minutes, and then and that's fine. You can do that. You can have very structured thing, and that's fine. But I like what Jimmy Evans taught me, and he said this. He said, your prayer time should really be structured as simple as this. What do you worry about? That's your prayer list. He said, let your prayer list be filled with the things that you worry about. That's simple, but let me tell you what. Think about it. God wants you to pray about the things that concern you the most. And so I love that. Can I tell you, I don't want to talk about the power of prayer. You know what I want to talk about? The power of you simply asking. Of you simply asking. Now, I pray that God, through the preaching of his word today, would change our minds. That would take the cynicalness of thinking, it won't work, I can't ask, I've done that already, yada, yada, yada. And that we would turn that doubt and unbelief off. And we would start to simply understand the power of us simply asking God to do a miracle in our life. I've got some points quickly that I think will be very, very helpful. The first point is this. Understand this. If you need to understand the power of simply asking, you have to understand this. God will respond if we will simply ask. He will respond. It's his promise. He says in James chapter 4, verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. Look what he says. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covenant and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. Now, we get kind of confused at this first part, but let me explain this first part, what it's saying, what James is trying to communicate to us. All this first part is stuff that we do to try to get our needs met by our own ability. That's what that list is. And he says, you lust and you do not have. You murder. That's something you do. You murder and covet, and you cannot obtain. You fight a war. These are all things that you try to do. And what James is saying, and I'll say it later on, we'll look at it later on, but what James is saying is, here's what we need to do. Instead of acting out ourselves and trying to get our own things and saying, God, we don't need you. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to ask. I don't have time to believe. I don't really believe in anyway. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to figure out how to get it done myself. I'm going to do all these things. And after you do all these things, here's what you do. You still don't have the marriage you want. You still aren't raising the kids the way you want to raise them. You're still in debt. You're still frustrated. You're still a dork. You know what? And you try to figure it out, and you try to, you know what, and you try to buy the coolest clothes and listen to the coolest music, and you try to do all this stuff, but you're still a dork. Oh. And I'm still a dork. And the reason we are is because we don't go to God and just say, God, help me. You do not have, not because you're not trying, but because you're trying. We ultimately need to come up and reckon. We need to come up to this reality that I need help. I need God's supernatural power. But please understand this. God is baiting you. God is saying, you don't have. But let me tell you why you don't have. You don't have, not because I don't want to give it to you, but because I'm seeking a relationship with you. and I am waiting for you to ask.
Yeah, but God should just give it to me anyway.
Hey, listen, God is the one who makes up the rules, not you. I am smiling, right? And here's what God says. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask me. So what should we do? We should understand the power of asking. We should start asking God. You have not. Understand this. Let me put in the positive. God will respond if you will simply ask, number one. Number two, please understand this. Humble people pray. Everybody say, humble people pray. What's a reciprocal? Let me tell you, I love you guys. Let me tell you, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Let me tell you why people don't pray. And maybe I'm talking to you. Maybe I'm going to tell you why you don't pray. And this might hurt, but you know what? It hurts so good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right? Like, who said that? Johnny Cougar. Yeah, Johnny Cougar. Okay. But I said it. You know what I mean? It's going to hurt good. Amen. You want me to start singing it to you now? Okay, no. Yeah. Actually, next week, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss next week. I'm going to talk about, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to talk about, but you don't want to miss next week. But here's what I'm saying, that the reality is, if we come down to ask really what it is, because I'm too busy, God knows my heart. No, let me tell you what it really is. Let's blow some smoke out of here. Let me tell you why people don't pray. They don't pray because they don't understand. They think that they got it on their own. You think you don't need to pray. And that's why your life is what it is. Because instead of relying on the supernatural power of God to fix things, to mend things, to give you wisdom and give you guidance and give you direction, you don't tell you, brother, come, my brother. So, come on up. You're the man. This is Caesar, and he's come to our church, and he loves our church, and he's called to our church. But, so Caesar comes up after the first service, and he says, Pastor, that happened to me. Okay. So, shortly tell him about the whatever it was. Tell him. Tell him what you told me.
There was a few weeks ago, my boss went on vacation, so the superintendent was trying to do everything in the office on his own. So he called me on the radio. We had walkie-talkies. He called me and goes, hey, Caesar Edison is here to pick up the material. You have it ready? I go, yeah, 10-4, it's ready. So I go to the guy that I gave that job to, and he says, hey, Caesar, I can't find those three plates. There are three, like, over, like, 2 feet by two, thick plate. And so I go, let's start looking for them. We start going all over the yard looking for these three plates. Couldn't find them. I get a call. I went in my office. And then on the way back, I just said, I prayed. I go, God, there was this one area we were looking where we have a lot of plate and pallets. And we couldn't find them. So I went back to my office and went on the way out. I go, God, please take me directly to those plates. I know that my boss is in the office. You know, he's stressed out. Because he's on his own, but let me find him so I can help him. And I just believed, and I walked straight right back to where we were at looking, and I looked down. Underneath all the pallets, I saw just one, a square of a plate. And I looked at the operator that works for me. I go, called him over. I go, move all these pallets. The plates are down here. And he goes, oh, we already looked there. They're not there. No, they're down here. Move all the pallets. Moved them up, and I just said I go, God, I believe those are the plate. And there was only one that I seen, but once he moved the pallets, all three plates were there. And that guy was telling me, those ain't it. I go, these are it. Come here, get off. Let's help me pick them up. We picked them up, and those were the three plates that were missing.
See, let me tell you what it is. A humble man prays. A humble man recognizes, I don't, I don't know. I told the first service this, but I'll tell the second service this. You know what? I've been, man, how many can relate to this? I've been in a situation and I'm in an argument with my wife, and you know what? And I'm thinking, and I keep on thinking, oh, I'm going to get out. I'm going to say this. And I try to get out, and when I get out, I dig deeper. You know what I mean? So by this time, I'm like 4 feet down. And then all of a sudden, I think, Acha, I know exactly this is going to get me out. And here's what I really think. I think I'm going to say this. I really think, oh, this is it. And I'm going to say it, and I'm going to go 4 feet out, and she's going to look at me and go, honey, I love you, and she's going to give me a hug. So, boom, I say it, and then she goes, and then, but this is the response. She looks at me and goes, I can't believe you said, you know what? That makes it three times worse. Okay, now watch this. Be honest. Men, how many can relate to exactly what I just said? You think, raise your hand real high. Come on, real high. You think that's going to get you out, and it's like unbelievable. Listen. Let me tell you what you're experiencing. You're experiencing your inability to be a good husband. And every husband here, whether they raise their hand or not, they have the inability to be a good husband. And every wife has an inability to be a good wife. And every employee has an inability. I'm telling you what, we are so, I'm smiling, right? We are so incompetent. Don't be mad at me. Are we not? Can we get real? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The Bible says that God didn't leave us here like orphans. God never intended for you to function on your ability. God intended for you to say, God, I need help. Just simply ask. And here's what he promised. If you'll ask, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will I give to those, do you know what the rest of it? Who ask. The power of you asking. And if you understand, watch this scripture quickly. Scripture quickly. God, help me to be able to preach. Amen. I love you. Okay. James chapter 4, verse 6. Look what it says. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What's grace? Grace is the supernatural power for you to get done what you can't do by yourself. You are saved by grace. What's grace? Grace is a super. You know what? You don't have the ability in of yourself to get rid of your sin. You're saved by the supernatural power of God to do what you couldn't do. Jesus needed to do it for you on the cross. That's what grace is. And God wants to give you more grace, but he's going to give that grace to the humble. Now watch this. Next verse. Look at this. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Resist the devil. Resist the devil who says, you got it. The devil who says, no, you don't need to ask. You're too busy to ask God. Oh my, that is a stupid statement. You're too busy to ask God for help. And let me talk about your prayer time. Your prayer time, listen, your prayer time, you need to pray an hour. I'm not saying you need to pray an hour. You need to pray a half an hour. I'm not saying you need to pray a half an hour. I don't know. Here's what I am saying. That your prayer time has to be set apart to God. I'm saying every day you've got to humble yourself and say, I don't have time not to have a prayer time. I have to ask God. Here's what I'm saying. That your prayer time has to be more than, you know what, running to in and out and saying, God, thank you for this food before you devour your double-double. That is not a prayer time. I mean, thank God that you pray over your food. Sanctify your food. Thank God for your food. That's great. But that's not a prayer time. You have to walk in humility that you're able to say, God, I just can't do this thing called life by myself. I have shown too much inability. I just can't. I just need your help. That is what you need to do. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. His willingness to tell you and lie to you and tell you, you got this on your own. You're too busy. Ridiculous. Okay, draw near to God. Draw near to God, the supernatural power of God. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. This arrogance is only God. No, cleanse your hands, you sinners. And pray for our hearts, you double-minded. You're double-minded. Oh, I don't need God. You know what I mean? Oh, pray to God. God starts blessing you. Oh, I got it. That's double-minded. No, you need God. You needed God last week when he blessed you, and you still need God. Yeah, but it's going good now. No, you're double-minded. I need God. I don't need God. I need God. No, that's double-mindedness. See, when things go smooth, then we're like, oh, I got it. No, you don't got it. Amen? I like what T.D. Jakes taught me something this week. He said, you know what? You're only one decision away from messing up your life. You're only one decision away. You need to pray, God, help me through this day. I need your help. Double-mindedness. I need God. I'm cool. I need God. No, you need God. Just stay single-minded. I need God. Are you catching this? Okay. Lament and mourn. Ah! I need help. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Oh, I really need help. You know what? And your joy into gloom. Without God, forget it. Humble yourself in the sight of God. And what's going to happen? He's going to lift you up. You're going to humble out. You're going to ask God, God, I need help. And all of a sudden, you're going to look like the smartest person in the company. Amen? You can come up with, hey, well, if we just do this and do this, do this, that'll get us out of debt. That'll help us. We'll open up a whole new area of business that we can double in size. You'll come up with the right idea. You'll all of a sudden understand how to function with family member who everybody else is going, she's crazy. And you'll come up with the right idea. You'll understand how to function. And people will start turning to you. Why? Because you've humbled out and turned to God. And watch this, and God is going to lift you up. You're gonna, and what are you going to do? You're going to stay humble and say, yeah, let me tell you what, it ain't me, it's God. Is that not right? So what am I saying? Humble people pray. Proudful people are too busy to pray. They got it. Let me tell you what, you might think you got it, you don't got it. And I don't got it either. That's why humble people pray. Number three, understand this. Jesus is our example. Look at this scripture. Jesus is our example. Look at our scripture in Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before the daylight, he got up really early, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Wait, I don't understand. Jesus was the Son of God. Why did the Son of God need to pray? Here's why. Please understand this. Philippians says that God emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. Jesus is our example because, let me tell you what Jesus, was. Are you saying Jesus wasn't the Son of God? No, Jesus was the Son of God. But Jesus was the Son of God who emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. He said, John the Baptist, oh, I don't know, you don't need to be baptized. He said, I do need to be baptized. Okay. And then after he gets baptized, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. What is Jesus doing? He's recognizing. He's emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. So now he needs to walk just like you and I need to walk. We need to get filled by the Spirit. And then the Bible says the Holy Spirit led him out to the wilderness. Now what's he doing? Now he's being led by the Holy Spirit. The reason why Jesus gets up early in the morning and prays is because Jesus is humble and he needs God's help in his life. Amen. Listen. Jesus needed to ask God. How many know we need to ask God? Look at this in Luke. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Often. Ever say often? Often. Why did he do it often? Here's why. Because Jesus walked in humility and he recognized he needs God's help. He didn't come. He came to fulfill God's calling in his life. Can I tell you what? When you became saved, you really need to understand you're not here to fulfill your calling. You're here, just like Jesus, to fulfill what he's called you to do. Amen. And how in the world are you going to fulfill it except that you humble out and spend time with God often and say, God, and what are you saying? You're saying, God, I need help. Help me to be a good husband. Help me to love Tamara the way I can't love her by myself. Help me to love my husband because I don't, man, oh my goodness, God, I need help. And ask him, and he'll give you that help. You'll be like, oh, I should be so mad at him. But I'm not. Amen. Amen. God will help you. And Jesus is our example. If Jesus needs to pray, you need to pray. Amen. Point number four. Yes, but I'm just a man. Well, James deals with this. Look at what James says. James chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. James is arguing the same thing that I'm telling you. James is saying, wait a minute, let's look at somebody who simply asked God something radical. And you know what? And he was just like you. He did dorky things in junior high. You know what? He messed up all the time, just like you and I. He had a nature like ours. But check this out. But let me tell you what. It's not about you. It's about you humbling out and saying, God, I need your help. That is about you humbling out. And God says, if you will draw close to me, I'm going to draw close to you. I got your back if you'll simply ask. So here, Elijah, he's a man. He's got a nature just like yours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3 years and six, 3.5 years. And how did that happen? He says, God, I pray that it won't rain. How many know that's intense? Can I tell you what? He believed it. He believed. See, if we would start to simply believe that God will do what we ask him to do. He was earnest in it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, but it probably won't happen. You know what James says about that? It ain't going to happen. I'll pray, but probably, when God answers your prayer and you're surprised, not good. You ever pray something and you're like, ooh, amazing, it happened. Not good. That's not the kind of prayers that God wants you to pray. God wants you to pray prayers and just start asking God. This guy was earnest. God, let it not rain. Boom. And then watch this, watch how bold he is. I love this. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and earth produced. God, now let it rain. Oh, that happened. Here's what happened. He just said, how in the world? God, help him. Give him a basket. Give him a basket. Listen, you saw it with your own eyes. Can I tell you what? There are people who saw the supernatural power, supernatural miracles right in front of their face. And they wouldn't believe. Jesus said, seeing, they don't see. I've showed it to them right in front of their face. They don't believe it. There's people who watch that clip. There's people who will watch that clip and they will not connect the dots. You know what? Let me tell you. Did your number one superstar, you know what? Was he able to get, you know what? 6-3. That was a school record set by the water boy who never ever played a varsity basketball game in his life. And let me tell you what. And people watch that and they won't even connect the dots. Okay, here. You want me to prove it to you? His first shot missed by 6 feet. Didn't even hit the iron. God, just give him a basket. Is it, Pastor, that simple? Listen, according to Jesus, it's that simple. You saw it with your own eyes. I mean, you can believe whatever you want. And you keep on doing, it probably won't work. It probably won't work. It probably won't work. You know what I mean? I mean, I could have Caesar come. He's already testified to you. Hello? I could testify to you. I could testify to you where I there was a day, you know, I lived in Newport Beach. The surf was really big, Fred, like 9-foot waves and totally perfect. You know what I mean? And so what did I do? I had a break. You know what? I put my surfboard in my car. You know what? I had my shorts underneath my pants. And you know what? And on my lunch break, I had an hour lunch break. I could eat in like 5 minutes. You know what? I ran out to because the beach was right there. I had my surfboard in my car, drove to the beach, surfed. You know what? Whew! Anyway, it was awesome. And then I was in a hurry because I couldn't be late. You know what I mean? So I'm, you know, changing and, you know, doing all this. And I get to my car and I'm like, I left the keys in the sand. And it was kind of in the winter, so it wasn't like I could go, it was near, you know what, it was near this person over here. No, it was just, there was nobody there. Okay, and I'm coming back, true story, and I'm coming back, just like he told, and I'm coming back, and I say, God, help me. And it wasn't like the keys I have now with the big lanyard on it. It was just three little keys. I said, God, help me find these keys. True story. I can't find them. True story. I stop. I put my hand in the sand and my pinky, the keys were already covered up. And my pinky felt the coldness of one of the keys. And I thought, oh! And I grabbed them. And they were my keys. And I walked back to my car McGee and I said, thank you, Jesus. Because I recognize, listen, I can do this all day long. I can bring Tamara up here and tell you, and she, you probably heard this story, and she was trying to find something, and she just prayed, and it was important because we were at a wedding, and she wanted to see, you know what, Shayla in this wedding, and she couldn't find her contact, I almost said binoculars, but contact lenses, sorry. I knew that wasn't the right word. She couldn't find them. And you know what? And they were in a Kleenex box. Listen, and you could sit there and go, you know, man, Caesar and Tamara and Drew, they were lucky. No, we weren't lucky. We serve a God that answers our prayers. There is such power in you just simply asking. I remember one time in the office, we just had an awful, awful, awful day. This was wrong, that was wrong, this is wrong. Tamara comes in and says, here's a thought. We should pray. Yeah, there it is. I'm like, God, help us to all this computer. Help it to straighten out. And like in like 4 minutes, it all got straightened out. I'm telling you, there's power. But listen, you got to start believing what's in front of your eyes. You know what James says? Listen, this guy, he was a man just like you. Let me tell you what he did. All he did was ask of God. Now I'm almost done. But I'll show you. I'll connect the dots, and I could do it all day long. My last point is this. Understand this. That this, what I'm telling you, it works. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, look at me. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken and all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. When did they do that? Here's what happened. When they prayed. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. We saw this last week, but I never connected the dots here. I wanted to show it to you this week. You remember the story? The army comes in. They're surrounded. The guys are like, hey, man, we're messed up. They're all over here. And here's what I want you to catch. And Elijah, what did he do? He prayed. He asked. What's he doing? He's just asking. Look what he asked. Lord, see, praying is just asking God. What did he say? He said, Lord, open up the eyes that he might see. And here's the main thing. I hope you catch it. Everybody say it. Then. Everybody say then. Yes. See, when? After he prayed. He prays. You know what? You have not because you ask not. You know what I mean? He prays. Lord, and what does he pray? He prays, believe that you receive and you will have what you ask. He believed, Lord, show him. He's not thinking, Lord, show him. You probably won't. He's thinking, Lord, show him that he can see it. He's praying what he wants. Pray that, you know what, he'd see it. And what? Then. When? After he asked. Then the Lord opened up his eyes, and the young man, he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots. He saw it. When did he see it? After Elijah asked him, Lord, show him. Lord shows him. Watch this. It gets better. Verse 18. Watch this. So then the Syrians came down to him. Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, and you know what? I love this because Elijah comes up with the plan. I wonder if Elijah's thinking, this will be funny. Here, let me do it. Let me pray that they'll be blind, and then I will lead them to the enemy. That's kind of comedial. That means like funny, right? Watch this. Then, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, strike the people, I pray, with blindness. Okay, and watch. And he struck them with blindness. According, what? What are you going to do with that? Put that in your purse and swing it. Amen? Amen? Is this good? I'm telling you, this is straight up. This is what happened. When it ain't going to work. It won't. The power of simply asking God. And not asking with doubt. Not just saying, God, I know. You know what? We have not because we ask not. If we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more? Watch this. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. So simple. So clear. Jonah. Jonah's in, watch this. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. And Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish of belly. What does he pray? He's got, God, get me out of here. I don't know if you were in a fish, you might pray. God, help me. God, get me out of here. You know what? Verse 10, look what happened. Look what happened. Verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish. So, what's so related to? So is related to Jonah praying. He prayed, so now God moves. So he spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah into dry land. I wonder what kind of ride that was. You know what I mean? Like we had about, you know, I remember when I was, when my kids were little, you know, in the pool, I used to pick them up and throw them. Amen. When it felt like that, like times 10. Whoa. You know what I mean? Here's my point. I could do this all day long. So you people in the word who just simply prayed. Let me tell you why Jonah got out of the fish. Because he prayed. Because he just prayed. Let me tell you why Elijah, you know what, it stopped raining, because he prayed.
That's right. Come on, preach.
I don't have too much more to say. All I'm just showing you this is saying, you know, let me tell you why that young man scored six, count them, 6 3-pointers, 18 points, school record. Here's why. And you cannot believe it. It's right in front of your face. You cannot believe it. Seeing, they don't see. But here's why. Let me tell you why. Because that guy prayed. That's why. Simply it. Now, I don't know about you, but you know what? I believe that God is speaking to somebody, and you've just gotten in this kind of cynicalness. It won't happen. God never helps me, and it never works, and whatever. But I'm believing that this sermon is exactly what you needed.
Yeah.
And if it's you, I want you to raise your hand and say, Father, or say, Pastor, thank you. Father Drew. Don't call me Father Drew. Amen. Pastor, I want you to pray with me. God has convicted me, and I want to start to have a childlike, simply willing to just believe you for miracles in my life. I'm humbling out. I need to ask God to help me in just the simple things of life every day. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Father, you see these hands that are up. I pray supernaturally, Father, by your power. I thank you that your word is going and healing people's minds. And I come against doubt, fear, unbelief, all this garbage that has crept into our lives, maybe through months and years. And we have solidified that this is true. And we declare that's not true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Father, I thank you that this is the first day of the rest of our life. I thank you that you renew our mind. I thank you that your word brings healing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. I love that. As believers, we should be believing. It's a good thing to ask yourself each day, what am I believing? We're believers. What do we believe? In 1 Corinthians, it's more than just we believe in Jesus Christ. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 11, it's talking about the foundation that we have. Jesus Christ is our foundation. But we're to build on that. As believers, we need to believe. Believe what? Believe what he says. Everything he says. And so, what are you believing? And we've heard testimonies, you know what, and we could do it all day long probably, where times where we've turned to God and we've believed for something. When we used to have Women of Hope on twice a week, actually, or yeah, every week or something like that. We did it on Thursday nights. And I had a speaker one night, and she came, and we were just sharing a little bit before she spoke. And I was sharing with her what God had done here, and not the South Sanctuary, the North Sanctuary. What an amazing, all the newspaper articles on the wall, and all how God renovated this huge property. And all we had was $5,000. But we ended up with $160,000 worth of renovations and help that seemed to come out of the sky, but it didn't come out of the sky. When I cried out and said, God, I can't do this. I had negotiated with someone to put my tile in. Over in all the tile that you see right now, you can still walk on it, over in the North Sanctuary. And the guy told us, tear up all the floor, so we tore it all up, and he was supposed to put the floor in. But then he disappeared. And so this was back in the day, there was like 12 of us in the church, you know what, maybe 15 of us. And everyone was a senior citizen except for me and my friend Larry and Bobby. So it was like I was up a creek. So we went across the street to Home Depot, and they're like, what are we going to do? I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to lay a floor. We're going to learn how to lay a floor. And we went across the street, and we got a little lesson from the guy over at Home Depot, and we started laying floor. But you don't know what you don't know. And so I'm on my knees 4 days in a row laying tile and grout and all this jazz. But I'm doing it with no knee pads. I didn't know about knee pads. I'm stirring up mortar and doing all this stuff by hand in a big bucket for 4 days. I didn't know about the drill with the big paddle that goes brrr, brrr, and just does it all for you. I'm pushing grout in to all the nooks and crannies with my hand without grout gloves on. I didn't know about grout gloves. So by the third or fourth day, I'm an ever-loving mess. I'm so sore. I'm picking up 50-pound sacks of this and 50-pound boxes of tile and carrying them here and there and ay. I'm a mess. My hands are bleeding. They're so, you know, let me tell you about the grout. It's full of sand and so is the mortar. And so I was just a mess. And I sat on the floor, really, you know what, just about in tears. Tears were just welling up in my eye, and I said, God, I can't do this. I'm just a mom. I mean, I had just had Tyler that year. I'm just a mom. I'm not a contractor. I need help, God. Or first of all, it started out, I said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm just a mom. And here's what he told me. You haven't asked me for help. I said, okay, Lord, then I'm asking. Does the Bible not tell us that? You have not because you ask not. And Lord knows I had not. So I said, okay, Lord, then I'm asking. I need help. I can't do this. I'm just a mom. I'm not a contractor. And I'll be darned if that very week I was down here working as usual, there was a knock on the door. Give me that. Knock on the door. I opened up the door, and the man said, hi, do you need help here? Yeah. I said, help with what? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? He said, I saw you in the newspaper. And me and my friends, you know, we used to be with Habitat for Humanity, but we all live locally here. And I was just wondering if you needed any help. I said, yes, sir, I do. Is that amazing? Now, those men came every week for the next 3 years. Every week for the next 3 years. It's amazing how much you can get done when you just got a steady pace like that. And help me do all kinds of stuff. What are you believing for? You know what I've learned? I kind of turn to God and begin to believe when I get in a pinch. But we shouldn't believe just when we're in a pinch. We should be believing all the time. What should you be believing for? The Spirit of God will quicken you and say, because it doesn't have to get so bad before it gets so awesome. We just have a tendency to just run our lives. We're the foundation of our life. Us and whatever we can reach and touch and do, we are the foundation. But that's not what 1 Corinthians tells us should be. Jesus Christ, I tell you what, I have a way more amazing life when it's God and me, when God is the one directing my life, and I'm just moving with him. But too many times we kick into default and we just become the director of our life. But the lady who came to Women of Hope, here was the point, as I was sharing with her all this stuff, she said, I travel everywhere and nobody has stories like you have. I said, oh. You know what I mean? And we went into service. The next time I invited her back, she came with like an entourage of women. And she came to me. She came just beelined right for me. She said, Pastor Tamara, Pastor, tell them what you were telling me. Tell them all those things that God did. Tell them. And I thought, wow, these should not. She said, no other pastors have stories like you have. Why? What I just talked about. We go into default. But you, if you'll not get into default, you will have the most amazing testimonies as you go to God and let him go before you. And that's what we should be doing as believers. We should just have amazing testaments to who God is in our life. And people around us see it and go, whoa, like that lady. She's loves God. She's a mature believer. She's serving God for years and years and years, and is in contact with lots of pastors all the time who, same thing. But she says, no one has stories like you have. Am I special? No. Nope. I'm just childlike enough to believe that I can turn to God and that he's right there for me, and I can believe him for things. And then I have these testimonies, amen? And the same is true for you. And so I hope that you leave today with that challenge of asking yourself on a daily basis, what am I believing for? Where do you have your faith out there? And then watch God. You know what? Fill your life with testimonies. It like Caesar, like Pastor Drew, like myself, like many of you, when you've done it, you know he's there. Amen. But I don't know why we get lazy and just step away from the foundation that we're supposed to be building our lives on. True, true? True, true. Okay, so that's going to conclude our service.